Welcome, everybody. My name's Peter, and I get the pleasure of being the Umze today. I'd just like to welcome everybody. We had refuge ceremony last week, so a lot of people thought perhaps Lama wasn't speaking today. I think that's why the crowd's a little sparse. But I wanted to mention, if any of the new refugees are out there, I see a few faces. I wanted to make this just a part of my practice, that before I get into my wonder years, where I'm walking around wondering where I am, that I might work on my brain a little bit and just try to put faces and names together. So if you're new and in the Sangha, just introduce yourself to me at the at our little social break. It's going to be just a practice of mine if I can remember things. So obviously, I don't remember the prayers. Who took my book? We're having a fun time. But we start with prayers on page 3 in this book. And begin with praise to Shakyamuni. Teacher, foe destroyer, thus gone, fully and perfectly awakened Buddha, endowed with knowledge and good conduct, gone to bliss, knower of the world, helmsman of perfect, supreme one, teacher of all gods and men, Buddha, foe destroyer, glorious victorious one, Shakyamuni, to you we pay homage, make offerings, and go for refuge. Teacher, foe destroyer, thus gone, fully and perfectly awakened Buddha, endowed with knowledge and good conduct, gone to bliss, knower of the world, helmsman of ordinary beings to be tamed, supreme one, teacher of all gods and men, Buddha, foe destroyer, glorious victorious one, Shakyamuni, to you I pay homage, make offerings and go for refuge. Teacher, foe destroyer, thus gone, fully and perfectly awakened Buddha, endowed with knowledge and good conduct, gone to bliss, knower of the world, helmsman of ordinary beings to be tamed, supreme one, teacher of all gods and men, Buddha, foe destroyer, glorious victorious one, Shakyamuni, to you I pay homage, make offerings, and go for refuge. When you, chief of humans, were born, you took 7 steps on this great earth, and you said, I am supreme in this world. To you who were wise at that time, I prostrate. Completely pure body, supremely fine form, ocean of wisdom like a golden mountain, fame that blazes in the 3 worlds, supreme protector, to you I prostrate. Endowed with the supreme marks, a face like the stainless moon, a color like gold, to you I pay homage. The 3 worlds are not like you, who is free from dust, matchless one, endowed with knowledge, to you I prostrate. Protector endowed with great compassion, omniscient teacher, field of ocean-like merits and good qualities, to the thus gone I prostrate. Through purity, free from attachment, through virtue, releases from the evil gone realms, unique, supreme, ultimate meaning, to the Dharma that brings peace, I prostrate. From freedom, teaching the path, well abiding in the pure trainings, holy field, endowed with good qualities, to the Sangha also I prostrate. Homage to the Supreme Buddha, homage to the Dharma refuge, homage to the great Sangha, to all 3 ever devout homage, to all worthy of respect, bowing with bodies as many as all realms, atoms, and all aspects, with supreme faith I pay homage. Do not commit any non-virtuous action. Accumulate virtue and goodness. Subdue your own mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Like a star, a mirage, a lamp, illusions, drops of dew, bubbles, dreams, lightning, and clouds, look at all conditioned phenomena as such. Due to this merit, having attained the state of the all-seeing and thereby subduing the enemy of faults, may I liberate migrators from the ocean of existence stirred by the waves of aging, sickness, and death. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. By the positive potential I create by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the joyful happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from holding some close and others distant. Respectfully, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I confess all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time, and rejoice in the virtuous action of all ordinary and noble beings. Please, Buddha, remain as our guide and turn the wheel of Dharma until samsara ends. Through the merit created by myself and others, may the two bodhicittas ripen. May I obtain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. This offering I make of a precious jeweled mandala, together with other pure offerings and wealth, and the virtues we have collected throughout the three times with our body, speech, and mind. O my masters, my idams, and the three precious jewels, I offer all to you with unwavering faith. Accepting these out of your boundless compassion, please send forth waves of your blessing. Idam Guru Ratnam Mandalakam Nirtyami. Little ones. Okay, our little troopers are going to head off to the back room. The Wisdom of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, or the Heart of Perfection Wisdom Sutra. I got a little wisdom in there. I prostrate to the Arya Triple Gem. Thus did I hear at one time, the Bhagavan was dwelling on the mass of Vulture's Mountain on Rajihara, together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomenon called profound perception. Also at that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then, through the power of the Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that. And the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look upon it like this, correctly and repeatedly, beholding those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Form is empty. Emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomena. There is no eye element, and so on, and up to and including no mind element, and no mental consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on and up to and including no aging and death and no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, and path. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and dwell in the perfection of wisdom, the mind without obscuration and without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach the end point of nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times also manifestly completely awaken to unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment in reliance on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequaled, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be known as a truth, since it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared, Tayata, Gate, Gate, Paragate, Paragate, Samgate, Bodhisoha. We'll say that silently 21 times. Gate, gate, paragate, parasamgate, bodhisoha. Shariputra, the bodhisattva, mahasattva, should train in profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan arose from that concentration and commended the bodhisattva, mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage. It is like that. It is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom just as you have indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding in their entirety, along with the world of gods, humans, Asuras, and Gandharvas, were overjoyed and highly praised as spoken by the Bhagavan.
Good morning. I'm preparing a teaching, a document called One-Page Dharma. So when people say, well, what should I be doing? Or what do you guys do? We just kind of go, here. So, can we fit it all in one page? Sure. So, to set up mandala properly, actually, we should have a kind of gatekeeper sitting next to that door, you know? So, Elizabeth, how would you feel like taking your chair, though? You can take a chair. And then, so you'll be looking out the same way I'm looking, direction. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Yeah, like that, yeah. Well, isn't a little bit closer? A little bit closer, yeah. That's good, yeah. Does that feel comfortable?
Yeah, but what do I do?
Yeah, you just look this way. So if I need something from this side, you know, or someone's coming through that door and they need help, then you're there. And then we have this side, so yeah, good. So in setting up your meditation seat, then you have everything the four legs of the table set up, so to speak, and it's all set up. So in our tradition, we say, you know, the Vajrasena of our Vajra seat. We, you know, our meditation cushion is our Vajra seat, very stable, very energetic. So just the temple here, the Gompa, which means meditation place, was very temple, very stable, right? So we always have four. We're missing one by the door. I don't know where our other Dorje Khasong is, but so someone, imaginary person on the other side of Brian there. So you have four. You're the guy. Yeah, like table like that. Okay. The refuge practice text looks like this, right? So everyone that's taking refuge here should have that text, and they're wondering, like, what can I do? Well, you can do this practice, right? Everyone has this. So it combines refuge and guru yoga and meditation and the precepts and blessings, the whole thing. It's the Buddha with offering bowl and hand touching the earth is traditional, kind of sometimes called like refuge Buddha, right? Also, the style Buddha, usually if you're doing a shamatha meditation, concentration meditation, this, I know it's a little small, right? Yeah, but with hand touching the earth like that. Sometimes when doing visualizations, you're asked to visualize Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, even whole mandalas like the Kalachakra, and just, you know, mustard seed like that. And then sometimes big as the universe. So those people that took refuge last Sunday, then they can continue doing that practice. You always have that fundamental. The refuge means like going in safe direction. So there's always safety and blessings and support, because you need that first before you challenge yourself. If you go to examine the mind, examine the self, examine phenomena, and you haven't established a firm foundation, you'll either get distracted, or you'll go the wrong direction, or you'll freak out. So we don't want you to do either one, right? So that's why we do these narrative meditations, these prayers ahead of time, why we have beautiful, safe environment. And then when we look into the nature of phenomena, nature of mind, nature of self, then we have the strength and the safety and the motivation. Without that, people tend to drift or re-traumatize themselves, actually. Yeah. Because if we're doing the practice correctly, then we've developed very strong tools, so to speak, very strong skills. And with those very strong skills, like strong light or a sword or very strong vision, x-ray vision, then we go into the cave looking for the dragon, right? So actually the Shakyamuni's Buddhist style of doing practice was influenced by his warrior caste background, right? Kshatriya caste. So particularly in Tantra Vajrayana, we do warrior style. Warrior style means we just don't wait for the delusions to kind of go away, or we don't just kind of wait for them to show up. We either call for them, or we go searching for them. Okay. Because generally, if we don't do that style of practice, our delusions will they'll just kind of park over here, just slightly out of sight. And you'll think, Lamla, I'm all done. I'm enlightened now. I've realized blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're just like, warrior. So we either call them like, come on, come on, come on, or we go looking for them. And with either style, you want to be prepared. So there's that strength and the safety and the backup. We're here to actualize and realize the way things are, right? The truth as it is. So how are things? Mm-hmm. So on a basic level, things are so radically interconnected that we can't say they're separate. But what's interesting, even though things are ultimately not separate entities, we have different, there's different forms and different energies. So even though everything's connected, you're not the same as the rug when you're looking at the rug, right? That's a big mistake. So connectedness does not mean identification. Connectedness means things cannot be established as being separate, but that doesn't mean they're the same. Isn't that weird? Yeah. So to see how things are connected but have their own strengths and powers and functions, we have to develop prajna. We have to develop jhana. So these are all related to knowledge, right? Jnana. The knowing. We have to see things. We have to actually know things. So we have to know how things are not just separate entities, but connected entities, but at the same time, they have different functions. So my teacher used to say, you don't want to put eyewash down there. So you don't want to put ketchup on ice cream, right? They're both ketchup and ice cream kind of food, both ketchup and ice cream empty of independent existence, right? Both connected, but ketchup isn't that good on ice cream. Has anybody ever tried it? Yeah, so you're just even thinking about it, you don't want to. So we have to develop this, what's called discriminating wisdom, to see the essential connectedness of things and also the essential functions of things. So that will go on the one page Dharma, like that. Seeing things as they are automatically means that we're going to act differently if we act on the way things are. But to realize this, how things are mind, how do we do it? So what's the practice of how we see things as they are? How do we develop this blissful discriminating wisdom? It's brought about or given birth, to use kind of that metaphor, by a great compassion. So generally, if we didn't have some suffering or things weren't bad for others, we wouldn't have any motivation. We wouldn't want to awaken to things as they are. It would be just fine. So great compassion is, we say, is the mother of the Buddhas. So when we don't want to be in pain ourselves and we can't bear that our mother beings are suffering, then we make a determination to totally wake up, totally know how the whole thing works, totally how to know how we can fix it. So this activity called bodhicitta is the beginning and the end. There are two kinds of bodhicitta. There's the relative bodhicitta, which is I want to save other beings, right? Relative means that I'm in relationship to beings. And then there's the absolute bodhicitta, where we can't separate, we can't separate I'm here and they're here. So sometimes we say prajnaparamita style, there's no self and no beings. But it really means you can't separate yourself from beings and they can't separate from you. Do you think that's enough? Okay. It might be more, so. So we have to do, even when we develop some compassion for ourselves and others, some love for ourselves and others, then we do have to undergo techniques. We do have to learn how to use the techniques properly. And this is a big part of the path. Most of the meditations that people are doing is actually learning how to do the techniques. So it's the training. It's not even the practice yet. Training's learning how to do the techniques, right? Training in safe situation, learning how to do it properly. Practice is how we're putting it into action when the circumstances are correct. So over the years, I've been kind of a dilettante martial artist. not having to use it much more than emotionally, but a number of years ago, I had an incident. I had to find somebody, and I got this close by here in Sacramento, and I got attacked in a parking lot here in Sacramento, and they grabbed me by the wrist and started pulling. And what was amazing is I just kind of did a release, just like this, right? Let me grab you. If you just do that, it's hard to hold on to somebody, right? Just simple like jiu-jitsu, simple Aikido, right? And what was funny is that, I shouldn't even thought about it. I just started running, but I had this little like, this shit works. So it was kind of scary. Like I should have just left, right? So I'm still practicing. It should have been like you escape and you don't think like, well, that was really cool. Hey guys, but that's an example of like putting it into conduct. So I think God, all that money and all that time training. Okay, I escaped, right? So we have to train for that. You have to train to do it. If you want to escape your delusions, we have to train all the time on the cushion, on safe conditions, because you never know when an actual practice situation will come up. So I'm going to put that in. Well, not that story, but maybe that's a good story. Okay. So conventionally we say view meditation and action sometimes. But like inner level, it's view, meditation, practice, like we're practicing, right? Like you say, the view is okay, be insightful, then see things as they are, see emptiness, see nature, mind, and then you're meditating, and then practice is you're testing that out during the day, right? It's experimental. You're making mistakes, right? So, but once we start really achieving mastery, we're working towards what's called conduct. So we want to be adepts in a sense. You want to be master. So in the conduct, you're not really practicing anymore. There's some achievement. You're actually doing the right thing in the moment without having to think about it in a sense, right? So actually we're all kind of masters in some level. Everyone here is master of something. Some form of conduct, right? Like maybe, it's very simple. Maybe we mastered washing the dishes or driving or something like that, right? But you're not really practicing anymore. You're actually doing the conduct, isn't that so? But under very difficult conditions, it's difficult to be like a real master in conduct. But so we're doing view, meditation. What's the third one? Practice. And then conduct, right? So there are many people that are doing view. They're studying and they're thinking about view, trying to stabilize the view in meditation, and they're practicing. But as we know, there are not very many masters, right? Because when it comes down to conduct, it's easy to screw up, right? So that's why we have the precepts. You know, the precepts are not like particularly just even the five precepts here, let alone bodhisattva or tantric samaya precepts are looking towards conduct. How are you able to do something with wisdom under pressure, under extreme, you know, kind of desire or pressure? Or will you just kind of collapse entirely? So that's why the precepts are kind of like all the Vajrayana precepts, Parinimoksha precepts, Bodhisattva precepts are kind of like tough, right? Because they're talking to conduct. They're looking at mastery. We're in this, we're really trying to be professional bodhisattvas here. I want you training toward mastery. I don't want you just training toward view, just reading, going, everything's connected, okay, bye. I don't want you just meditating, going, this is a feel good. Or I don't want you just kind of practicing without thinking that you'll actually have to do it under pressure. I want people to be able to do Buddha Dharma under pressure, under difficult conditions. So I try to put myself under difficult conditions. I don't try to ask you to do things I haven't done. So I have six things. So one part of Dharma practice here, Dona Dargye, right? Then I have Middle Way Health. Then I have Middle Way Health Foundation. Then I have my business with my daughter, the Singing Mirror Fashion. That's challenging. And then I have family. Family's challenging, is that right? And then the sixth, we say the Lord of all the mandalas is Vajrasattva, right? Keeping pure view, right? It's very easy to kind of go, oh, shit. I don't know. This is easy to dip, you know? So we need to put ourselves in these situations so that we can not only practice, but attain a level of conduct. Because, you know, at some point, people don't really care what our intention is, do they? Like, I really don't care what people are thinking when they're driving. I just want them to obey the traffic laws, right? You know, I really don't care what, like, Joe Biden's thinking. I don't want him coming up behind me and, you know, smelling my hair. You know, it's like, it's always just, by the way, it's always so, like, hetero, you know, you have to, like, think it through. You know, it's like, what if Joe came up behind you? Like, Joe, no. Not sexy. Not. So, just as far as like, this is a little aside. You know, of course, it's very sacred. I enjoy doing the refuge practice very much, but I really enjoyed how much Geshe Damchula, who's now in Mongolia, was enjoying the practice. You know. So you know someone's getting really integrated in the culture when they can kind of joke. So he just cracked himself up telling kind of Trump joke, you know? Then I know, like, it's just, you know, he's in, right? You know, it's just like, it was very funny like that, you know? So So actually telling the right jokes at the right time is conduct. It kind of worked, you know. It's like, I'm not into bringing politics, you know, into, but like if it's a joke, like it's a good joke. So you laugh, it's funny. So that's conduct, right? Good joke. If you tell a bad joke and it falls flat, then that's not so good, right? You know, it's like, so we should, maybe on the one page Dharma said, you're allowed to say something political if it really is funny. But if it's not really funny, you can't say it. If other people don't think it's funny, it's not funny, right? We're in that world, right? If, you know, no's no, not funny is not funny. So, okay, it's not funny. But so that's conduct. Yeah. So, of course, on one page, talking about, you know, refuge and three jewels and lama and four noble truths. But very simple, so you can just give it to somebody, right? And then I'll have a little of my favorite aphorisms. My favorite ones are, the best practice is the one you do. So, and then, if you're reading profound Dharma, not just informational Dharma, but profound Dharma, like let's say you're reading, you know, Tilopa's Song of Mahamudra, you're reading Garab Dorje's Three Essential Points, you know, like don't read more than you meditate, right? So you say, okay, I'm going to read, you know, some of Shabgar's songs or something like that. Then, you know, if that takes 5 minutes, at least meditate 5 minutes, right? You know, if you're reading a really thick book on, you know, kind of logic and philosophy that takes like 2 days, you don't have to meditate 2 days. But if you're reading what we call pith instructions, direct instructions on, you know, how to do things, then you have to meditate afterwards, right? You have to let it absorb, and then when it absorbs, you know, meditation, you know, like contemplation is absorbing, reflecting, and then you reach a meditative kind of non-conceptual state, right? When we say meditative, we mean non-conceptual. When I say contemplative, we're reflecting. And you want to rest in non-conceptual meditation for at least like the time it takes you to read, you know, like a real pith instruction, right? Otherwise, you're reading it and going, all dharmas agree on one point, and then you go, yeah, shit, I got that, and then you just go on to something else. No, you know, you read something like, all dharmas agree on one point, then you stop. The mind should stop. And then, I don't know, we just said that in like, you know, 2 seconds. So maybe on that one there should be a multiplier of about 20 or 100. Then other one I like to say, there's no spring at the bottom, no automatic reset button. So, I mean, people can go down samsara pit, and there's no kind of like, it doesn't automatically mean you're going to bounce out. Does it? It doesn't. We have to hear something, we have to have the right karma, or we have to run into the right people to say, you're bleeding on the sidewalk, do you want some help? Do you want a better way to do things? So people think, well, if I just get really pathetic, then God will come or the Buddha will come and bail me out. If you haven't set up, it's kind of brutal. If we haven't set up the karmic conditions to recognize nature mind, to have somebody says, hey, you're lying in a pit of shit, so do you want to get out or not? If we haven't set that up, we'll just keep there. There's no automatic spring. So, of course, in Buddhism, we're talking about there's no creator deity. Likewise, there's no, you know, it's not going to automatically come. Even Padmasambhava won't automatically come. If you don't call, then won't come, right? No automatic pizza delivery. So, that should I put that in there? Let's take a vote. Should I put that in? Raise hands. I won't put the pizza delivery. So, So a few pointers on essential Dharma things, and then we can just hand this to people. But it's really for us, right? Essential Dharma. Yes. Do you know what the four seals are?
Yes.
Okay. I won't ask you what they are. Yeah, four seals are good. Susan had a question. Comment.
We talked about karma yesterday in Buddhist steps on the Buddhist path. So would you like expand a little more on what you were just saying? That if you haven't set up the conditions to get yourself out of the mire, can you just talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, it's the religious problem of kind of grace, and you know, in the West we call, you know, grace and salvation. Like, how does it happen that some people change and other people don't, or some people, you know, grow up and some people don't? You know, how does that work? So the Dharma style isn't necessarily an explanation. That's important. Like, karma isn't an explanation. It's more like an insight. So an explanation would be, well, that, you know, that happened because of your karma. You know, like, but that's not really useful because everything is a big deal. So when we say karma, we have to know, see how the intentional cause hooks up with, you know, if we don't see it, it's not an insight. If we just say, well, that's your karma, then we're just given an explanation. It's like, why is California screwed up? It's because people are jerks. That's not an insight, that's an explanation. So when we're talking about karma, the Buddha presented that as an essential insight, just like Four Noble Truths, not as an explanation. Because usually we use it as like, well, that's why, because, you know. So when I say we have to set things up, that doesn't mean that's an explanation as much as an insight which tells us what to do. So that's the most important thing. So we have to put ourselves in the position where we're willing and interested in hearing how cause and effect, an intentional cause and effect, which is karma, come together. So when talking about karma from Mahamudra and Dzogchen point of view, we're not talking about karma's like linear explanation, like we're talking about in Hinayana or just Mahayana, which makes it sound like the infinite past, right? Karma goes back and then we just end up here. We have to talk about like it's happening, we're creating and it's happening, ripening right now, right? So that's why Lotus Sutra is kind of interesting, like talk so much on Lotus Sutra, because in a sutra level, it talked about it's like it's all happening like right now. So we have to say when we have to notice like right in the moment, like this intentional cause is having this intentional effect, and then we understand karma. So that's why we need to have someone point us to our intention in the moment, and that's why I like to like. I like to stick my hand out here and say, like, you know, when I tell people, like, move your hand, and then nothing happens, right? Now, I didn't give myself another verbal command. So how did I do it? So one is an explanation, like, I moved my, you know, arm because something happened in my mind that triggered like chemical reaction and, you know, blah, 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 and then it moved. But I didn't have, you know, I couldn't even, it doesn't even, it's weird, it doesn't even feel like thought, right? Just, you want to try it? You know, just like, yeah. Yeah, you didn't think, Brian, like, first, okay, now I'm going to move my hand, you know, isn't that weird? So the explanation of karma just like is okay, you know, but it's not realization karma when we're just saying, well, you know, you got hit by that car because you hit somebody in the past on their horse or something, right? That's kind of making it linear and flat. So in the moment, we have to realize, you know, non-conceptual intention like that. So it's happening constantly. It's happening all the time. But generally, it needs to be pointed out. So if we're saying why do some people get pointing out instructions and run work into, you know, the right situation, and why do some people not get pointing out instructions and meet the right people at the right time, what would you say? Is it random, or is it as a result of cause and effect? It's still karmic cause and effect, yeah. Yeah. So we could say, like, our whole mind stream is beginning and endless, but it's like almost like one complete non-conceptual intention. Really, you know, it's just complete Dharmakaya, you know, unique manifestation of appearance and emptiness. So when people say non-intentionality, we have to be careful. It means just not normal kind of, now I am going to do this linear intentionality, but there's still that kind of spontaneous intentionality in real karma and real realization of mind. This is kind of esoteric, but this is the big stuff, so maybe we should go in there. But so when we screw up, or when we're just practicing, we're always trying to see, you know, should we have, you know, what's the level of explanation or personal intentionality. But when we reach the area of conduct, then there's this complete harmony with non-conceptual intentionality. So we're still making the right move, you know, but it's just like that. It's just the liberation world. It's just unbelievable. You can't believe it. It's just like too much. Like, you know, it's like this stuff should be completely free, you know? It is. So it's weird. But we have to train a lot because we're always flattening the world out, right? We're always kind of, you know, taking. Remember when we were kids and we all had those Rand McNally maps and Greenland was real big? No one has paper maps anymore, right? You know? And like, Mom, why is Greenland so big, you know? So that's the explanation world. The spherical, three-dimensional world is the real world of, you know, realization. So Padmasambhava said, my view is as vast as the sky, my activity is as fine as barley flowers, understanding the unity of complete open vision and karma. It's a good question. If you asked a teacher like Jada Rinpoche or like Kangsha Rinpoche, who's been here before, is coming just in a month, right? If you ask a teacher about karma, they'll go on forever. Because, you know, because when, you know, just hitting on a karma or just obvious karma is easy, but, you know, how to really do conduct, right? How to really do real mastery, how to be, you know, real mahasiddha, you know, is difficult because, you know, people are separating. It's so easy to separate the karma and the realization, but you want them together at the same time. It's really interesting. So I'll say a little bit about that. But also, I want to put, we have to say something nice about please take care of the planet, right, on our page. Like, universe is alive and it'd be nice to the planet. We should say that, right? Yeah, hope so. Then we should also have, like, you know, say, living in, you know, reasonable harmony with people. Reasonable harmony means we're having interesting problems and interesting conflicts. Because there's always going to be, you know, some, like, I think we should cook it this way. No, honey, it needs a little bit more, blah, blah. You know, this always that. But so we should say something about, you know, our vision for, you know, harmonious, enlightened, you know, community, right? That should be on the page, don't you think? Okay. Yeah, maybe on the top. Like, you know, it's like, okay. We have time for like one more question, comment, or complaint.
Thank you so much, Lama, for your profound teachings today. I think you've answered this question before, and maybe I'm going to ask it in a different way. And I think maybe you have already told me the answer, but maybe there's a new perspective I can get today on that, which is the condiments that you put on your ice cream. And I think that the answer is that your teacher may have more objective view, more holistic view of the student's mind stream and can give them the correct condiments. And is that, as I've been kind of wandering around the mandala looking, kind of taking a sample from lots of different things, and now I feel like maybe I need to be assigned a condiment. I don't know how it would happen.
Well, what do you, is it ice cream or what do you have?
Oh, it's really good, whatever it is. But I think it needs something else. Needs another spice. Needs another.
It's kind of like what I was thinking. Similar. I was like, well, you don't really know that ice cream and ketchup don't taste good together until you taste ketchup.
Yeah, that's right.
And until you taste ice cream.
That's correct.
So
yeah.
She's walking around tasting emptiness and selflessness and right all of the various dharma tenets. And how do you know which one you want to sink your teeth into? Right.
Right.
So generally, you know, you're going to get practice instructions and, you know, try this and try this and try that. And then if someone's a close student, then they'll get conduct instructions, right? These are sometimes called pith instructions, you know, just do it things, right? So they'll sound fun, but they're not really that fun because sometimes we just don't want to do it. So, you know, it sounds weird, but, you know, we might even hear, like, you know, don't put anything on the ice cream. Like that, right? You know. So I would start off asking first kind of, you know, practice questions, you know, view, meditation. You break it down, view, and then there's contemplation, reflection, then non-conceptual meditation, then kind of practice, and then conduct, you know. So each question, each kind of condiment is going to be a little bit different, you know, like that. But eventually it's really hard because there's no extra put on it. You have to do it all. Yeah,
yep.
Maybe I'll put that down.
Yeah, yeah. You have to do
but,
it all.
But, you know, so you want to ask, you know, specific questions, and then the teacher will say, well, that's kind of a question about view, that's kind of a question about contemplation or reflection, that's a question about meditation, that's a question about action, and then finally a question about conduct. Like that. Let's take a break, and we'll do a little contemplation meditation. Yeah, thank you. Peter. So, let's turn on the air for a few minutes, and then we'll clear. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we can turn a little, just clear. First day. Just, is that on AC? Yeah, good, yeah.
Disciples with Dedication on page 15. Due to the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel, Bodhicitta, that's not arisen, rise and grow. And that
may thou which hast risen not diminish, but increase more and more. Land and circle by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chen Ruzi, Tenzin, please remain until sorrow ends.
May the teachings of the Buddha flourish,
and may the upholder of the teachings remain forever. May all migrators achieve happiness, and may they fulfill all their temporary and ultimate goals.
Losan, magical display of the deep awareness of all the victorious ones, merciful giver of a stream of profound and vast instruction to the fortunate migrators, please remain always unperishing, unchanging, unfading.
Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of objectless compassion, Manjushri, master of flawless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of worlds, Tsongkhapa, crown jewels of snowy land sages, Losang Drakpa, I make request at your holy feet. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Please, stay, say hello to people. Have some snacks or enough lunch. I'd like to have a meeting of the book club, maybe like one-ish, by the shoji screens in the back of the community room, so we need to pick a new book. So I like book club. So we didn't meet last week, but now we have Harriet here, our book club sponsor. So yeah, we won't make you stand up. So, but let's get something to eat, and then books are good because usually we're always trying to think, okay, what's the right thing to do? But it's nice reading books where we can talk about it and the book itself doesn't know exactly what the right thing to do is. That's why I like novels, you know. It's like, I don't know, what would the characters have done? But we also read, political and social stuff too, right? Like, even then, it's hard to know, like, well, what's the right thing to do? So if people want to show up who've never done it before or had those book club discussions, then you can. What other announcements do we have? Okay, thanks.
Hi, everyone. Michelle. Thank you, Lama.
Yes.
We're so fortunate to have Lama as our teacher. We're so fortunate to have this temple. And we have so much here, and we want you all to be here. And welcome to the newcomers. We rely on your generosity. So if you could help us out, we really need it. And we're grateful for that. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah. We have a mother's program here at the temple, the first and third Saturday of every month. And so we had our first meeting yesterday for the month, and we'll have another one in 2 weeks. And you're all welcome, whatever level of Dharma practice you're familiar with, and if you know someone who needs support, Dharma-centric support, and remember, it's 2 to 4.
Thank you. I'm going to be here till around 4 o'clock, so if people want to hang out and have something to ask or say, you're welcome to do that, or go out, come back. So I'll be around till around 4 o'clock today. Yay! Thank you.
Thank you, love.
Yeah.